From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 15th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief at the GEOINT Conference in Tampa, Florida.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
According to an article in the IEEE Spectrum, more than 24 Earth imaging satellites have been successfully launched in the last few months, and more are planned by year's end. With so many going up, we ask, why now? Why has satellite imaging taken off, and what's so new about these companies and their satellites that make them a sound business investment? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor. Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags. Provocative, disruptive, and game-changing. These are the words that an IEEE article is using to describe a situation in which we find new Earth observation satellites being deployed by companies that are not the big guys, but small startups with venture funding. Stanford University professor and global ecologist Greg Asner states, "It's totally an Earth observation space race out there, with the cost of putting a satellite into orbit dropping because of cheaper materials and so many competing commercial launch ventures. A lot of really cool innovation has begun to happen." And this from Peter Wegner, director of Advanced Concepts for Space Dynamics Laboratory, says, "It's like the iPhone. You never knew you needed a device with a GPS and an accelerometer, but once you've got the capability at your fingertips, you suddenly realize all the things you can do." Well, Adina, is he saying that the remote sensing industry is taking off like the iPhone? All he had to say next was that we'll be next analyzing hyperspectral images on our iPads, and I will have accomplished my mission in life and making remote sensing a mainstream technology. There are 9 companies mentioned in the IEEE article. We've covered some of these before, but some we've never heard of. What we'd like to do is maybe briefly give a thumbs up or thumbs down to some of the value propositions of each of them. But first, Adina, what I wanted your opinion on was something I just kind of recently thought of. You know, these companies that we're going to speak about, and many have heard of, Skybox, Planet Labs, they were well off the ground before GOI and Digital Globe decided to merge. And each seems to perceive that there's a new market niche out there to exploit. These companies saw something well before the NextView contract collapse. And I don't know whether these companies are starting up as a result of what some very innovative people, you know, foresaw in the future, but it does seem like these companies came on board at the right time when commercial satellite imaging was just only now taking off.
Yeah, the timing is crucial, because had they started at any earlier point, the technologies, the modular construction of the satellites themselves and the developments in the sensors themselves and the methods and platforms for capturing and moving the data back to Earth and then distributing the data once you get it back to Earth weren't mature enough. And let's face it, that's where a lot of the money and pain of some of those earlier big-time satellite companies went, and why perhaps they weren't as successful as they might have been. So, yeah, right place, right time.
Yeah, I think exactly the case. So let's go to the first one, Skybox Imaging. We know a little bit about this. SkySat 1 is up. It provides high-def video. That's a differentiator. They have about a meter resolution, but, of course, that's a lot less than Digital Globe's half meter and less than the expected clearance that they probably will be granted soon for 0.3 meter resolution. Also, we heard rumors recently in the past week that Skybox might be acquired. Perhaps that in itself is justification for their business model. But I guess the biggest differentiator I see is that when all 9 satellites of the SkySat constellation are launched, it's repeat coverage every place on the Earth 4 times a day. Anything new here? That seems to be their biggest differentiator, is that repeat coverage.
The repeat coverage is awesome. And I think the real question now that we get to ask is, okay, so you have up to four times per day repeat coverage. What's that for? What's the use case?
What are the applications?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have one off the top of your head?
You know, this most recent issue with MH370 might be that. If you had better coverage, if you had at least the resolution that they're talking about, maybe going over a certain area would have been useful. Certainly, hurricane damage, tornado damage, that would be useful. It's these crisis mapping situations that it may be useful for.
Right. Or when you want to capture sort of those snapshots through the day, so I can see an awful lot of business intelligence, location intelligence, you know, shopping during the holidays, not only how many cars are in the parking lot, but how does that change throughout the day?
I think that's a really good example as well. Next one, Planet Labs, large constellation of CubeSats. These are satellites that are 10 pounds, approximately 5 kilograms, low Earth orbit, about 500 kilometers up, 3 to 5 meter resolution. They want to launch 28 of these things from the International Space Station with the possibility of adding 72 in their constellation. The IEEE quotes a DOD person, Department of Defense, as saying there's a niche for temporal resolution versus an inferred spatial. So temporal versus spatial. Do you buy this unique selling proposition?
Well, it's what we just talked about. How often do you need that repeat coverage? Mm-hmm. And are the use cases different? You know, is four times a day enough, or do you need six times a day? And can this constellation do it?
Yeah, and I have a little problem with the 3 to 5 meter resolution. It's getting a little coarse up there. So I think the applications are different than spotting cars in parking lots. We're talking more maybe environmental monitoring and such like that.
Again, use case. Yeah. Got to articulate that use case.
Yeah, and I'm not sure any of these companies are putting that out there. So
yet.
We need more of them.
Yet.
Yeah, yet. Yeah. Let's move on to EarthCast. Value proposition here, 24x7 high-def video, two cameras, one with a meter resolution, one with 6 meter spatial resolution. Does this open up new applications and markets for geospatial data? Similar again to what Skybox is offering, but they're putting more of the emphasis on high-def video.
They are, and they're also doing something a little bit different from the other two companies in that, yeah, we want to sell this kind of service for businesses. We want to open up our API so people can use it. And we want to make this stuff available for education and science and citizens. So that
and
tapping sort of that more citizen-y part of it than maybe some of the other companies were.
And media. Isn't this what media, mainstream media, cable media have wanted for so long? Is they want to find real time what's going on the ground in downtown Damascus. I think that this is one of those use cases where they can make the argument pretty easily.
Right. And Digital Globe, despite its efforts and how many images it put out, there was such a lag to get those images. It was 4 days after the event that you got the pretty Digital Globe graphic.
Right.
So
Planet IQ, planned constellation, 12 to 24 satellites for weather and climate modeling. NOAA weather satellites, as we know, are aging. And we know that from the last decadal survey conducted by NASA, which indicated that progress is ongoing, but this constellation is still deteriorating. And one of the quotes I'll read here out of that decadal survey said, using realistic budget projections, the Earth science community cannot afford an all-encompassing program to enhance every aspect of Earth system science, nor can it afford a collapse of the mission queue to save just a handful of missions. To this end, the committee reiterates that 2007 surveys call for a balanced set of capable Earth science mission. And this is where I think the niche is going for Planet IQ. They want to plug the hole that's not being filled by NASA or NOAA at this time.
Right. And there's another company called GeoOptics, which is sort of looking at that same sort of space. And this is an interesting model. But again, they're hitching their wagon to that one customer, which is the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a scary thing.
Yeah, and pitching to the government that offload all of these science missions, the weather, whatever, to us, and we'll do it faster, better, cheaper. Daria Aerospace, a small, low-cost Earth observation, communication, navigation satellites built on contract. So, again, their business model is, let's sell to U.S. agencies, NOAA, NASA, and European governments. Outsourcing, I guess, seems to be their plan.
Yeah, certainly lessens the risk if you got a big agency with dollars in its hands. That's awesome. And then the vision is that they're going to launch their own satellites.
Right.
So I like that sort of mixed model, that we'll build them for you and then we'll build our own. The other thing that's interesting about Daria is that they've got their what they're calling their geo-infrastructure as a service, cloud EO, which is sort of the management and delivery vision, right? So that cloud solution.
Yeah.
So they're also trying to build that, sort of bake that in as the company starts to grow.
Teledyne Brown Engineering, right here where I live in Huntsville, Alabama, they have the MUSES system that stands for Multi-User System for Earth Sensing. It's another camera platform for the ISS, visible through near-IR spectrometer applications, specifically, as they state, for fire detection, change detection, monitoring sea lanes. A business model here, it's an imaging platform that supports multiple instruments and it can be changed over time. I've got a little insight into this. I've talked to the folks at Teledyne Brown and others who are watching what they're doing. It's an interesting model. It sits on the space station, and what it essentially it amounts to is hot swappable sensors. So you send a bunch of sensors up, you plug them onto the International Space Station, and if you have a specific need for a different type of sensor, you take it out, you plug it in, and it goes, and you download whatever data you need. Problem is, if you're going to hot swap it, it takes a spacewalk to swap them out. So that may be the downside.
Right, and these are more like specialty sensors rather than the video and the visual spectrum that we're used to. So again, who's the customer for this, and what's the use case? I keep going back to government.
Yeah, a lot of it is going back to government. So I'm, you know, again, this is another case where how many have really articulated a vision for the commercial market? It's not many yet. Tyvek Nano Satellite Systems, what they're calling mission agnostic and what I would term as customized CubeSats. They offer a complete nano satellite solution. You know, build a spacecraft around your own spec for payload. Maybe this is the way of the future. Maybe people are going to say, hey, I want this satellite, and somebody else will go build it for you with this kind of sensor portfolio.
Who's going to say that?
Yeah.
Who's the customer?
Yeah. Maybe we don't know yet. Maybe it is a corporation. You know, maybe a corporation could be people who are doing very interesting crop yield estimates. Could be a commodity exchange for cocoa, orange juice, whatever.
Right. And they've got the potential to sort of change that whole business model. And they've already got some contracts, one with NASA to look at docking with satellites and things like that. So they've got some money in hand already from the agencies.
I mean, if you look at something like a commodity exchange, there's big dollars out there. And if you want the best crop estimates, could mean lots of money. Obviously, less and less cost as things get built out in this type of business model. NovaWorks, a small modular spacecraft called hyper-integrated satlets, or HISATs, can be reconfigured for any payload mission. They've already got a contract from DARPA for $42 million. I don't quite understand what they're doing. That says they're going to attach themselves to dead but still orbiting satellites and bring them back online.
Right, and that's the DARPA project. And I got to say, that's super cool.
Super cool.
Go do that.
Exactly.
I think this is another one where there sort of is a business model now that we use these modular configurable satellites and we learn how to do that. And then down the road, we may do our own imaging and greenhouse gas monitoring, but that's sort of later.
Yeah, we'll watch that one. Last one is GeoOptics, something you mentioned earlier, another atmospheric imaging system for weather forecasting. Again, they're touting low-cost instruments, low-cost satellites, and launch vehicles. A company says it can achieve a reduction of at least an order of magnitude in overall mission costs with no loss in data quality. A lot of people shooting for the weather forecasting business here.
Right. See, there's government money there. Now, the one thing that's really missing sort of across almost all of these nine players and maybe others is, again, they're not identifying the use cases. And there may be a reason that they're not. They're not doing a great job of discussing sort of that added value thing. So I want to quote Tim Brown from globalsecurity.org. He starts to talk about sort of the difference between data and useful information. Let me quote, "You need to analyze the images and piece that information together with other information to get knowledge and ultimately wisdom. what will differentiate the startups, he adds, will likely be issues like latency, reliability, accuracy, how much tinkering of pixels do I have to do, how user-friendly is the interface. Right, so this whole part of what's the use case, what are you going to give me so that I can solve my problem, and how easy is it to get the data, there isn't a whole lot of talk about that part yet.
Right.
And as we've discussed over the years, at one time, three different commercial imaging providers had data, but it was super hard for the end users to get it and use it.
And we've moved beyond the simple research applications that we've known for years and years. In a presentation that Mike Griffin, the former administrator of NASA, made when he was here in Huntsville, he said something very interesting when I asked him about whether Huntsville as the space center, you know, the rocket city, could get into this business. And his very, I don't know, wise take on all of this was, you know what, bringing just another satellite business to town isn't really the objective here. What's really important is change detection. And what he was implying was you have to interpret the data. It isn't just the data itself. It's what you can get out of the data. And you essentially just said it as well, which is interpret, give me usable information. Where's the change? Where's the difference? Where's the unique value proposition? And that's where the business is moving. And these nine satellite companies, perhaps too busy, you know, launching their sensors and satellites and hoping that they'll actually get into space, and not necessarily on the value proposition of the data and the actual knowledge that these data will produce in the end.
Or perhaps they're going to partner up with somebody else who's going to do that work for them. Oh, say maybe a Mapbox.
Yeah.
Or the like, who can bring the data together, build the application that you're going to use, and provide just that down to the end users. There's a whole bunch of other potential middlemen in this process, and that's going to grow the industry right there.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from our sponsor, with a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server so you can get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
And if you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Direction Mag, or send us a tweet @directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.